and I'm here with my family, my three little sons and my wife, because I've been awarded like two fellowships to do research in two libraries here in Philadelphia, and we've been like spending the last like 2 months here in the U.S. So 4 weeks down, we still have 4 weeks to go. Just to start off, I just want to like thank you all for the warm welcome. It's amazing to see that it's only because of the Lord Jesus that we can see like true love on earth. So it's because of him that and he loves transcends language, cultures, countries. So thank you so much for such a warm and lovely welcome that you've like shown and given to my family as a whole. We truly appreciate, and we ask that Lord may compensate you all for all the love that you have like demonstrated. Okay, so Brother Paul has asked me to share a testimony, and maybe this couldn't like have been in a better time, because by doing the math, I just realized that this year, this July, I'm completing like, it's been like 20 years since I accepted Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, July the 5th. So it was like in a very good opportunity to give this testimony, because every time we look back and we try to recall how we came to the Lord, in many ways it increases our gratitude to him and make us remember where we were in the past and where we are now, just because of him and just because of Christ. And I couldn't like think of a better text to start with, which is in Psalm 14, verse 2, where it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." So I think we were all counted among those men, those human beings here. We are all lost, doing things that the God didn't like. We are all like living in sin. But I also like to think that, as Romans says in chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So we were all like in this state of practicing sin, but God loved us first and did his amazing work to rescue us from our sins. Okay, my testimony 20 years ago. So I was born and raised in a Catholic family from both sides. Brazil is mostly like a Catholic country. Now it started like to change a little bit as like the evangelical segment or Protestants are growing. And the forecast says that like in 10 more years, the Protestant population will overtake the Catholic one. So that's what we have. But I was like brought up in this Catholic family from both sides. And I live like an ordinary life. I wasn't like involved like with drugs and like things that we would like easily see that, oh, that's like a sinful nature. And I was really involved with all the Catholic rituals, like during Easter, all the processions that we would have. So I was really like devout and really into that like tradition. But within and inside, I was fully empty. And that like emptiness started like to bug me. Like when I was like around like 15 years old, I would like oftentimes I would find myself like crying. The lack of like purpose and a broader sense to life. And okay, so what was like the turning point? I was like doing a research paper paper with a colleague of my, a friend of mine, and about like the modern state of Israel. And God used that classmate's mother, who is still alive and a Christian, to talk about the second coming of Christ. And through that like moment and opportunity, God used her to start to raise questions in my mind, but at the same time to point out towards like some solutions and some answers to the very questions I found myself like struggling with. And for 3 to 4 years, God was merciful, patient, but kept like speaking to my heart and teaching me about the gospel, about who I was and who Jesus is. And people from the church, local church, where this sister attended, they started like doing Bible studies with me on a weekly basis. And through that process, I started like to learn and to understand more, until a time came. It was like a Saturday gospel, a special like gospel reaching out on a Saturday evening, when I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth that like Lord Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. So God was truly merciful with me and patient, until like a time when I was able like to make a rational decision based on understanding and based on the Bible. And I was able to experience the joy of being born again. It's unbelievable. Like, that's why like testimonies are special, because they make us go back and try to think about like the first love. And it's so special. Feel like the relief of the burden of sin, and to experience like, the Holy Spirit like dwelling in us. It's such amazing. So I continue my journey here. So now I have like 3 kids that I need to preach the gospel and to lead them to the cross, to Christ. And that's our, as I see, like our biggest task right now, since God has trusted, 3 special treasures into our hands. So that's our, most pressing, task. But also like my family, we keep praying for them and whenever possible preaching for them, because most of them are unsaved. But just before I bring this to an end, I was able like to witness my 83-year-old grandmother confessing the Lord and accepting Jesus just 1 or 2 years before her dying. And that was one of the most unique experiences, witnessing like what God did. And because it seems that like as time goes by, it's harder, because the hearten is like, the heart is like hardened by sin. So watching her, who was even more devout, she would like worship idols, coming to the Lord was such a special. And we pray that the Lord will continue doing his work, through us all, to save like my family and my kids. Yeah. I don't know if you have like some questions. Sorry, maybe like if I were, if I had been like speaking Portuguese, I would be able like to deliver some more nuanced, message. But yeah, that's it. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I did that like intentionally. The sister who preached like the gospel to me was my wife's mother. So I came to the Lord through her mom. So we've been like friends since like kindergarten, Leticia and I. So it was through her mom that like I was introduced to the gospel, and God used her to yeah. Yeah, she comes from like all like from both sides, her family, parents, they're all like Christians. Okay. So I forgot to say, we live in São Paulo, Brazil, a like, big city. If you ever go down there, please let us know, and it'd be like a pleasure to have you there. Okay. as Brother Victor has been there. If you want to like to return, you're always welcome, okay?
All right, thank you very much. Sometimes these stories of how people come to know the Lord can really be touching and change us too. So, seeing how God works in each of our lives. So, it was several years ago, I think, I was going, I don't know if you remember this, but I was going through some of the characteristics of God. And, you know, there was one characteristic that I totally missed because I couldn't get my hands around it. And I'm not going to get my hands around it now, but it's God's love. So I shied away from it because I couldn't deal with it. And even then, even now, as I was thinking of this topic, I'm only going to scratch the surface. God's love is so amazing. So may we all be, encouraged to meditate and think about God's love. It's so amazing. But the important thing is to, why is it important to love God? What, it's our motivation. What, you know, how can I say it? Our motivation for loving God has got to be the key to the success of living a committed life to God, for God. So anyway, 1 John 4:19. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. So if we truly believe in God, we will want to love him in return. When we give out the gospel message, like in, when we were giving out the bags, we were talking to this Willa, the person that was saved. I like to come up to, the, I don't know why, it's just the story that I like to give is that if you were drowning and somebody would reach out to you and save you from being drowned, what would you do? Spit in his face? I don't think so. You would say, you know, hey, what can I do for you? You have saved my life. I owe my life to you. What can I do for you? Tell me anything. You know, I can be your servant. I can do whatever. Why? Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So in the same sense, in a very more important sense, if I may say it that way, God has saved us from an eternity in hell. And so may we, it shows others around us. If we don't give back to God, if we don't love him in return, you know, then you start questioning whether a person really knows the Lord as their Savior. So, it's, you know, in the whole book of James is, you know, yeah, we're not saved by works, no. But we show by our works that we do have faith. So may we be reminded that these are very simple suggestions of thoughts. So don't, you know, you have your own thoughts. There's a lot of other verses that go around this. But John 15, verses 9 to 13 would say, "As the Father loved me," this is the Lord Jesus talking, so as the Father loved me, I also have loved you, the disciples, his followers. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So, how do we love God? So these are some of the practical thoughts that I had on how to love the God who loved us in such an immense, wonderful way that goes beyond our thinking. So, going through this, I thought some, you know, maybe an analogy, of course, it's analogy in the Bible. the love between a husband and a wife. Now, of course, as the bride of Christ, the Christians, we are thought of as the bride of Christ. So I could, perhaps we should put ourselves in the shoes of a woman, so to speak. And I can't do that as well. But hopefully, as we go through this, maybe some of these things will come out. So anyway, first of all, love is commanded. Once again, the Lord Jesus saved you from your sins and giving you eternal life, what do you want me to do? And so, God says to love him. Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The Lord Jesus reminds us of this in Luke. And there's other passages in other Gospels that says the same thing, but in Luke 10:27, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So what do we look through this, that verse? We say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Not just some. May we be reminded of that, and may we constantly challenge ourselves and say, did I give my all to the one who gave his all for us, the Lord Jesus? So, first of all, keep our hearts and eyes focused on the word all. And then if you look at the heart, the soul, the strength, and the mind, I was read one commentary, and I'm not so sure I agree with the particular a grouping of this, but this is my thoughts. The heart, if you love the Lord with your heart, it's love and belief. You love the Lord because you're believing. It's in your heart, believing. The soul, you love the Lord God with your feelings, your emotions. Love the Lord in your strength. In other words, love in action. And usually that is shown to others around us. And then love with your mind, in your intellect, in every decision-making process that you go through. May we love the Lord by giving our mind, our heart, soul, strength, and mind to him. As we look through the Ten Commandments, of course, we see, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols, not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. These passages, and perhaps even remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Those, if you group those together and say that that's loving God, and then the rest of the commandments would be loving our neighbors. In other words, honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. So, in a sense, you group those together. So that's where, in a sense, we get this idea of loving the Lord. Summarizing the Ten Commandments, we love the Lord, and then as a result of loving the Lord, God, then we love our neighbors also. So if you love God, you believe in him. First of all, you have to believe in the one that you're loving. So no matter what whatever he does to you, whatever God does to you, do you continue to believe in him as a loving God? What if he offends you? He doesn't, but I mean, what in your feelings, you say, well, you know, he hurt me. He took my loved one away. He took, he did this, he did that. And God is a loving God. But do you really believe in him? Are you committed to him? If you know in your heart, if you believe in him, that he knows what's best for you, he does, then you will take anything that he gives you and say, I still believe in him. I'm committed to him. Totally. From a human perspective, many times we see maybe especially in the world around us, we see spouses that fail us, friends forsake us. They, you know, do we put our trust in them? Well, we can't really put our full faith in them because they're humans, and that can devastate you. But Jesus, we know, if you believe in him, he will never fail you. And even through the worst persecution, you look at the martyrs in the world, they are committed to him no matter what happens. And they could turn around and say, well, you know, God, what are you doing to me? I'm serving you. Is he really there? And yes, you can ask those questions, but if you are committed, if you really believe in God, then you will, no matter what happens, because you know in your heart, you believe in him, that he loves you, he knows what's best for you, and you're just going to have to go through it, because he loves you all through it all. May we be challenged to remind ourselves of that. So if you love God, what are you going to do? You're going to obey him. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Once again, keep in mind this picture that I was, if you were drowning and the person saved you, what can I do for you? What can you do? So if the person says, I want, you know, do this for me, you'll do it. God loves you. He has given his life for you. Obey him. And then prioritize him. Obey him above all other interests. Any other gods, quote unquote gods, that we may have, prioritize God above everything else. Now, also I would suggest that we brag about him. if I can say it that way. You gotta tell others. Be a good witness. Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Be a witness. Brag about him. Did you know the God of the universe loved me so much that he would send his only son to die for me? Oh, I want to tell you about him. Brag about him. Okay? And then you want to be a good representative. Be a testimony. I know, Jasper, the example, if you dress up in your Marine outfit, people see you, they say, oh, he's a Marine. If people know that you're a Christian, you want to live the life to exemplify him as opposed to doing anything you want. You want to live like you're one of his. So represent him well. Be a testimony. And then thinking of, you know, once again, back to the analogy of women, perhaps, and we are the bride of Christ. So in a physical sense, and this is even true with guys, I guess, to some extent, they would adorn themselves, if I can say it this way, so that he can appreciate, so that your boyfriend or whoever you're going dating or whatever, your husband can appreciate you. But also in the same sense, guys would do the same thing to some extent in the physical world. But from a Christian perspective, challenge ourselves. Are we adorning ourselves? Are we doing what we can so that he can appreciate us? What can we do? I just challenge ourselves to think along those lines. If you were dating somebody and you wanted to get to be on their good side, so to speak, you do everything you want. You put a little perfume on or whatever, you do what you do. But that's the physical world. But may we be challenged to adorn ourselves and to make him, so that he can appreciate us. So what do we also, we do, we remember him. And this is what we do this morning. We do it every Sunday. we recognize his beauty and adore him. May we love him in that sense of the word. 1 Corinthians 11, of course, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. If you love the Lord, you will constantly think of him, remember him, praise him, worship him. And then in John 21, here is a test. Do you love the Lord? We mentioned this several times, I guess, but just to remind ourselves, in John 21, starting at verse 15, I'll just read a few of those verses. This is a few of the disciples that were meeting with the Lord Jesus after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The Lord saw them, had breakfast with them, and so verse 15, John 21, 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. If you love the Lord, you're going to feed the sheep. You're going to do what he wants you to do. There's a lot of sheep in the world, believers, and believers, but we need to feed them, help them to go to follow the Lord Jesus. Of course, also for the unsaved, to get the gospel out to them. But I trust most of us are probably aware of this, but in this passage, I'll be able to go through it again. I'll read it again using the Greek words that are there, because it's interesting to know the difference in the words, the word love. So in verse 15, so when they eat breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? In other words, agape me. Do you love me with all of your heart, soul, and mind, so to speak, with an agape love, a love that would go beyond like God's love for us. He would give his only son, the Lord Jesus, for us. Do you love me more than these? And so he said to him, Peter responds, he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But the word love there is actually the word basically being, I'm fond of you. It's not the word that the Lord Jesus used. It's a much, much lower intensity, if I can say it that way. And so Peter says Peter's been rebuked. He went through those three trials, forsaking of the Lord, remember? And so he's been humbled, he's gone through the fire, he's failed, and now he realizes that he's been humbled. And when the Lord says to him, do you love me? He says, Lord, I've been humbled. I know. I'm not the guy I should be. And I'm only fond of you. I can't go to the level of saying I have agape love for you. So, Peter says, I'm fond of you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And the Lord Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me with this intense love? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. Just fondness. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? In other words, now the Lord Jesus takes on his word. Are you fond of me? And I guess it kind of rebuked Peter, and he said, okay, it was, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I'm just fond of you. May we increase our love for the Lord Jesus and be more and more agape to him as much as we can. Of course, we're humans, but we can truly appreciate him more and more. There's so many thoughts on a love that goes beyond, you know, this will be a subject for eternity. What's the third verse of that song? The love of God. If the whole sky were a parchment and you took your pen and you dipped it in the ocean, the ocean was a bunch of ink, and you dipped your quill in the ocean and started writing about the love of God on the sky, you'd run out of space. It's eternal. It goes beyond all of our thoughts and our words. So in a very, very, very simple way, I've thought of this song, Father, I Adore You. It says, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. And then Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. There's other songs, many, 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 many songs. But anyway, simply loving every day. Simply loving every day. Loving through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, loving Jesus, that is all. Loving as the moments fly, loving as the days go by, loving him, whate'er befall, loving Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Loving Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way be clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for him call, loving Jesus, that is all. Loving him while life shall last, loving him till earth is past, till his gracious advent call, loving Jesus, that is all. It's just a closing prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to think a little bit, in a very, very small way, about your love for us, and then how we need to return that love to you. Help us, we pray. We need your help. We recognize that we can only do that because you're helping us to love you in return. Help us to truly love you, to be guided by your Spirit, that we might be faithful in all respects, helping us to remember you, to brag about you, to adorn ourselves so that you would appreciate us to some extent, even though we were sinners, far from you. You loved us so much. We give you thanks for all that you're doing in our lives. We just pray your blessing on us. Help us and encourage us to live lives in accordance with your will, that we might be faithful to you, getting the gospel out, telling others about the Lord Jesus and your great love for us. We give you thanks again and again in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.